Okay, this week is Parashas Masei. As we said yesterday, Masei, what did I say?
Masei.
Masei. Masei. Masei. Masei.
Masei.
Masei. Masei. Milara. Milara. Masei. Okay, Masei. Okay, this week's parasha, it's very rare that we have a short, it's not so short, I wouldn't say so short, but it is rare that we begin with the masos, as I mentioned, I'll page just the halacha, that this week, we discussed yesterday, we lay in the first aliyah, is laying all the way until Shlishi, because it says in the Chazal, you're not allowed to be mafsid during the masos. It's a non-stop flight. By Noah, we stopped over, but you didn't get off the plane.
Express
train. You don't get off it. The question is, why was it necessary for Chazal to list all of the 42 masos? Why do we need to enumerate all 42 masos? The Torah already records. As things happen, well, some of the locations were recorded, but Torah doesn't record every single detail that happened. I'm just looking for my notes. I don't know what I do with my notes. I wrote some things down. All right, no, this is not it. This is something else. Okay, all right, we'll have to just recall from memory.
Yeah, there's more sheets over there.
The sheets over here. The right is the
All right. No, not exactly. Let's check these pockets.
Something fell on the floor.
Oh! Now you're going to be stuck here for a long time. Okay. All right. Why is it necessary for the Torah to record the 42 masos? So first of all, we have to know that the 42 masos, smice of a similar bottom, all the Mepharshim tell us this, is that throughout history, Klal Yisrael has found themselves traveling from one country to another country. Unfortunately, there have been many expulsions, many different events have occurred, and just as we have traveled, just as in the Midbar we have traveled from one location to another location 42 times, likewise there's a Mesorah that Klal Yisrael, from the time of the Churban Bayis until the Geula Shlema, we'll travel to be 42 different places where Klal Yisrael will find themselves in their travels to Golis to reach their ultimate destination of Eretz Yisrael. Yes.
I don't know if you're going to say this, but you know about the first.
Yes. So Rabbi Chol is reminding. Rabbi Chol is our Baki Muflug in the Dalet Malchios as a reference. This Eile Masei Bnei Yisrael. The first four words are Eile Aleph. The first Masei is Mem. Vinei is a base. Yud is Yisrael. That stands for Aleph is Edoim. The Mem stands for Modai. Bay stands for Bavel. And Yud stands for Yavon. So we have here a reference that the Masei Bnei Yisrael represents Klal Yisrael, their travels through Golis, which in Chazal's eyes are captured in the Dalet Malchios, the Dalet Malchios of, not in the first in the order of Modai. Bavel, Modai, Yavon, and Edom, in that order, it's not exactly in order, but that is what is hinted to in these 42 Masos. The Bnei Yisoschar, the Baal Shem Tov says that just like this is true for Klal Yisrael as a whole, that we've traveled Golis, every single person in their life also can break down his life into 42 Masos. A person has a mission. He has a mission, and until a person accomplishes that mission takes him until 120 years. And throughout that mission, a person is always finding himself in different situations, in different location situations, and a person also follows the pattern of the masos that appear in this week's parasha. Okay, that is a symbol, so we'll come back to that in a few moments. But I did see in a couple of svarim, it's based upon a medrash, that another reason why there are other reasons why the Torah went out of its way to write down the 42 locations. One is to give credit to Klal Yisrael, to give them kavod, that Klal Yisrael was willing to go through a very difficult journey. Lechtech acharai b'midba b'yeretz lezerua. It's one of the psukim we say on the Yom Narayim, and we want to be more this schus. Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us to remind him of this schus that we followed him through this very difficult journey, 40 years, 42 different locations. Very big schus for Klal Yisrael. That's one reason. But another very important reason, especially in light of what's happening today in the world, is to give kavod, honor, to these 42 locations, 42 places, to give them honor because they served as a host, as an achsania for Klal Yisrael. And any nation or any mokon that was kind enough to give Klal Yisrael achsania, to give them a place to rest, to stay in their travels, to reach their final destination, the Torah wants to give them kavod. And by giving them kavod, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also indirectly giving mussar to all of the other locations that did not accept klal. Now, we don't really understand the depth of what these places were. Were these cities? This is the desert. But obviously in the desert, the fact that these places have names, so obviously it wasn't just pure desert. These are places in the desert which had some street signs. Okay, these were places, and if these places accepted Klal Yisrael, it's because they wanted to serve as a host, which means that there were places in the Midbar that we wanted to go to, but the places says sorry, no Jews allowed. And the Musar Haskel is, this is telling the world, watch out. It's the parsha is speaking. It's a very, this is a very powerful parsha. You have to remember, parsha's Maaseh to a certain degree is the Sim HaTorah. When you say Chazak, Chazak, when it's Chazak this week, it is the Sim HaTorah. It's Simchas Torah. The Chumash Devarim is a different Chumash. It's a Mishnah Torah. It's a repetition. This is the Gemar. And when the Torah concludes, the same way the Torah begins with the Torah was given to the world. Adam HaRishon encompasses mankind. It's not just for Klal Yisrael. The end of the Torah is speaking to the world, to mankind. The Torah was given to us. We observe the Tariag Mitzvahs, but there are lessons in the Torah besides the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, besides the Sheva Mitzvahs, but the Torah also speaks to the world. And the Torah here, when the Torah is Messiah, is telling you, watch out. Nice of a similar moment. There's going to come a time, there's going to be a day of reckoning. And the day of reckoning, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to look at every single nation and say to this nation, you all had an inner sense that my nation, Aham Yisrael, were here in this world to accomplish a mission. To what degree did you assist? Did you participate? Did you allow them to accomplish? Were you hospitable? Did you allow them to settle in your country during their time of galus? Did you assist them? Were you an enabler for them to be married with Kvayit Shemayim? These are the 42 places that are deserving of praise because they were hospitable to Klal Yisrael. And that means there were other places which we don't have to understand the significance of the time of the Midbar, which expelled Klal Yisrael. They said to Klal Yisrael, no Jews allowed. No Jews and no dogs. Stay away. And they will be held accountable. This is so powerful in light of this parasha taking place against the backdrop of what's going on in the world today, and besides the fact that there's a terrible Muhammad thing going on, the Korbanos, and terrible Tsar for so many people in Eretz Yisrael and all over the world. But besides the physical battle that's taking place, if you pay close attention, there's an enormous political battle that's taking place. Every moment, Netanyahu and many of the other political leaders of Klal Yisrael, they're out in the front fighting the political war and telling the world, are you with us? Are you against us? And there are some nations that very generously have come forward and said, we're with you. There's no moral equivalent between Hamas and Eretz Yisrael. We're with you. This is terror. This is Ritzicha. And unfortunately, there are nations that are not, don't see things. They're blind. They're Rishoyim. And this week's parasha is speaking to them. It is the Siyum HaTorah. The Torah began speaking to mankind, the creation of the world, to Adam HaRishon, who encompasses the entire existence of man. The Torah is Messiah speaking to mankind. Watch out. Watch out. There's a day of reckoning coming, and everyone will have to give din v'cheshbon if you were with us or against us. You want to be with the 42 places, the 42 mekomos, the 42 that were hospitable to Klal Yisrael? Ashrecha v'toiv lach. You don't want to find yourself in this list, you'll have to give a din v'cheshbon. Okay, this is one idea. Now let's come to another idea. The parasha begins with a very, very, very strange pasuk. Parasha says, "Vayichtov Moshe." The second pasuk of the parasha, Moshe wrote, "Es motzo ehem, lemas ehem, al pi Hashem." Moshe Rabbein, he wrote, he put in writing their exit strategy. The word motzo ehem means their exit, their escape, lemas ehem, according to their travels. So the first word is Motzo Ehem, and the second word is Masehem, Al Pi Hashem, according to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's command. And then the pasuk repeats itself.
Yeah.
If the pasuk would have stopped here, everyone would have been very happy. No one would have known the difference. But the pasuk repeats itself. So it's bad enough the pasuk repeats itself, but the pasuk reverses the sentence. The Eila, the following are Maasehem, their journeys, according to Limotzoehem, according to their departure. What is taking place? What's going on here in this pasuk? So the Mefarshim explain, let's lay down the Yisoid. Every time a person travels, you're accomplishing two things. Number one, you're leaving, you're distancing yourself from your previous location, you're removing yourself. And number two, you're coming close, you're trying to reach a destination. What's the ikar and what's the tafel? Well, if a person is suffering, right, a person, Rachman Litzlan, is in the matzah where he's suffering, he's locked up in prison, and he's trying, so I just want to get out of here. I don't know where I'm going to go. I'll figure out where I'm going to go later on, but my primary objective is to get out. Let's just get out of here. And I get out onto the street, I'll figure out where I'm going to go. And then there's a time where the primary objective is not to get out. Everything over here is okay, everything is fine, but my main objective is I have to get somewhere. I have to go to a simcha, I have to go meet someone. The primary objective is your destination. When Klal Yisrael, they left Mitzrayim, they went to Eretz Yisrael, there was a dual purpose. Number one, they were living in the Erev HaSaretz. They were surrounded by the Egyptians. It was a land that was not good for Klal Yisrael, for their spiritual well-being. The Klal Yisrael would have remained in Mitzrayim for one more moment, they would have sunk to the 50th level of Tumah. They were affected, they were influenced by their environment. They had to get out. They had to be together, Motzoehem. They had to leave. But the purpose was not just to leave Mitzrayim, the purpose was to go to Eretz Yisrael, Eretz on the Kedusha Sa'aretz. The purpose is to reach Eretz Yisrael, the chosen land, the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised the Avos. So there was a double objective. It's Motzoehem, to leave, and it's also a masa, a journey to reach a destination. What is the Iker and what is the Tafel? Well, the truth is they're both. On one level of interpretation of the pasuk, that's why the pasuk is repeating itself, is telling you these two ideas. They were both equal. Normally, derech olam, one is the ikar. Every time a person does something, one is the ikar, one is the tafel. Now, with regard to klal Yisrael, they were both equally the same. That's why the pasuk goes to the effort of repeating. It says, number one, it was Motzoehem. Objective number one was to get out of Egypt, to get away from the tomb of Mitzrayim, lemasehem, for their journeys. And then we repeat, it was also masehem, which has a connotation of a masa. A masa means a journey, your destination. Masehem lemotzoehem. So I am. So this is one. This is one very simple mahalach. Okay, but now let's go a little bit deeper. Parshim asks another question in this pasuk. What does pasuk have to say? Begin with Vayichtoiv Moshe. Moshe wrote down, Es Motzoehem. Is this the only thing that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down? Moshe wrote Chamishei Chumshei Torah. Moshe, he wrote. Of course, he wrote it. What's the purpose of making note of this? So the answer, the deeper meaning, possibly the deeper meaning of the pasuk is Moshe Rabbeinu, we know, was told, was not going to enter Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, you, Parash V'eschanan, you cannot enter because of the Chet V'nei HaMeriva, you are not going to enter. Moshe's primary objective, to some degree, was getting Klal Yisrael out of Egypt. Moshe Rabbeinu, he saw them suffer. His objective was to get them out of Egypt, to bring them to Har Sinai, to receive the Torah. But Eretz Yisrael, that was not his mission. That was given over to Yeshua. That was a different type of a leadership, different generation. There was a lot of different things that had to occur to get Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, and that was not Moshe's objective. So the pasuk emphasizes that Yichtoiv Moshe. Moshe wrote down Es Motzoehem. As far as Moshe's perspective is concerned, Moshe, he wrote down the Motzoehem. His primary objective was get him out of Egypt. Get him out of Egypt, give them the Torah, Lemasehem, and of course there's going to be a Masa, there's a journey, there's going to be a destination to come to Eretz Yisrael. But that, the rest, is not my, that's not my mission, and that's why these two parts are separate. Okay, that's level two. Now let's go to level three. Level three, in this, building up these two ideas together, is the Torah here, the end of the Torah. Masa is the end of the Torah. It's telling us, I've given you four chumashim. I've given you the Torah. How do you study the Torah? What is the meaning of the Torah? What is your approach to the Torah? There are a lot of stories in the Torah. There are a lot of mitzvahs. Of course, we observe the mitzvahs. But what about the history, Jewish history? What about stories? How do we interpret these stories? So we have a principle called Ma'aseh Avos Simin Labanim. The stories and the history is a blueprint for the future. And that's exactly what the last parish of the Torah is coming to tell us. Torah is coming to an end. I'm telling you, Moshe, he wrote down the stories. This pasuk is not just on a simple level referring to the masos. It's referring to the masos of the Torah from Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon is also a mas. Adam was created. Hashem said, go to the Gan, get out of the Gan. The Avos, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Every event in the Torah is a masa. It's a general pasuk. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he comes, he's finishing the Torah. Vayichtoiv Moshe. Moshe wrote down es motzoehem lemasehem. He wrote down the journeys. But Moshe Rabbeinu, he wrote down the journeys from the perspective of the past. Of this is what happened. Klal Yisrael, Adam HaRishon, he left Gan Eden. Hashem threw him out of Gan Eden. Adam went on a journey. Avraham went on a journey. Adam, he left Gan Eden. He left Gan Eden. Noach, he left the world. He went into a teva. Avraham, he left Aram Naharayim. Moshe wrote about all of the things where people they left. And they left in order to come to a certain destination. Okay, he wrote Jewish history. That's what he wrote. Vayichtoy Moshe es motzoehem lemasehem. When you focus on the motzim, you're focusing on the past. That has a connotation on the exit, on where we came from, the past. When you focus on the exit, you're focusing on the past. Al pi Hashem, everything that happened was al pi Hashem. And now Moshe is telling us, by the way, everything that I wrote about what happened in the past is a blueprint for the future. The Eile, everything that I told you about the Motzohem, Lamasehem, the Eile, every little detail, I'm giving you a warning, Klal Yisrael, study it as a blueprint. It's Masehem. You will find here the secret for the journeys that you are yet to take. You have yet to take into the future. So this is the Eila is always for the future. The Eila, this is the future. Moshe writes the Motzoyim. The Motzoyim is the exit. It is has a connotation of I wrote the stories. I wrote about the Masos, the past. But it's not just stories that happen in the future. The Eila, these stories that happen in the past, all of your exits, all the things that where you've come from, your history, where you have gone away from, you've left Mitzrayim, you've left this place, you've left that place. Study those events to serve you as a tool for the Eila, for the future of the Masos, of where you're heading in the future, Masem, for where you're going further. Okay, that's another one idea. Let's now go to another idea. Okay, another idea. Let's jump for a moment to the end of the parasha. End of the parasha discusses the idea of Benos Tzlafchat. Benos Tzlafchat find themselves in they have a shidduch crisis. Benos Tzlafchat. Who are they going to marry? Okay, so the pasuk says the question was to whom should they marry? It was not clear. There was a question. Okay, we're not going into details. There's a question as who should they marry? Should they marry within their own shevet? Should they marry outside the shevet? And along comes HaKadosh Baruch and it says, this is the last parsha in Maaseh, the end of the Torah, Zeh HaDavar, Asher Tziva Hashem Livnos Tzlafchat Lema. It's a very famous pasuk. People who, they quote this pasuk often when they discuss inyanim relating to Shidduchim, Latoiv B'Einehem Tihiyena L'Noshim. Let them marry whoever they want. Latoiv B'Einehem. When it comes to Shidduchim, you don't tell a person what to do. A person is making the big decision of his life. And a person has to want. You can't tell a person what to remember. I once had someone in yeshiva, so he was a chassidish fellow, and he was marrying off his son. And he said to me, this is a chassidish fellow, he said to me that he's Mekana the Litvax. So he's not telling you whether you can learn from this story or not. I was telling you, there's a mashu of truth in the story. He said to me, he said, by the Litvax, he says, the yeshiva, the Tarvidas, the old Litvax boys, most of the boys, they go on dates. They go on dates and they make their own decisions, for better or for worse. Okay, as Milos and Chasronos, better or for worse. He says, his children, they don't have a choice. He has a son, the son's in Shidduchim. Whoever he tells his son, it's all prearranged, whoever he tells his son to marry, he's going to marry. His son's not going to, he's going to make the choice. And he says, I just can't live with myself. The burden of making this decision, what's going to be for the rest of his life, is so overwhelming for me, I can't bring myself to take the to have that responsibility. I'm in this society, and this is my family, this is what we do, and this is how he's brought up in this community, and I have to make that decision for him. And it's frightening. Is it a good, is it a bad? Some will tell you, Adrab, it's better. I'm not going that way. But there is such a concept, okay, whether it's like Latoiv, it's a pasuk in the Torah. Latoiv be'eneyem tiena lanoshim, when it comes to Shidduchim, the pasuk is telling the Bnei Slavchot, marry whoever you want. Don't let anyone tell you what to do, you do what you want. And the Torah then goes, gives advice, ach, it's advice, l'mishpachas matei avim tiena lanoshim, they should marry within their own tribe. They should marry within their own tribe, they should not marry Menashe, they should not marry a different tribe, in order the Nachla should not transfer from one shay because of the Nachla. There should not be any problems with the inheritance of the land, so in the meantime they should marry their own tribe.
But only
applied to that generation, only applied for a short time. But even within their tribe they have a big a large range, many candidates, many eligible bachelors to marry. Now I just find this to be very fascinating, because this is mamish, the very, very last thing of the parsha of the Torah, the very last thing. What is the very first mitzvah in the Torah? The very first mitzvah in the Torah is Puravu. Puravu, what does it say about Chava? It says in Chava that she was brought, what's the pasuk? She was brought. Someone told me, went to a chas and said, did you notice the kala? Tony had told this to me. Maybe he told this to me. The kala, if you notice, her feet were not touching the ground. When they took her down the chuppah, her feet were not touching the ground. When they were not touching the ground, the parents were carrying her. But to Vienna, she was brought to Adam. She had no choice. So Haloi Davar, she had no choice. She had no choice. She was dragged to Adam Harishon. So look at the difference. Look at what's happening over here. The Torah begins. The first mitzvah. Peru Urvu. First mitzvah. Peru Urvu Umilu Esaretz Vichiv Shuha. Fill up the world and conquer it. When we address Chava, the first woman, Vativieha El Adam, El Ha'adam, she had no choice. There was no choice. First mitzvah.
No other guy around.
Why couldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu create me? There's no choice. There was no choice. The very last mitzvah, before you come to Mishnah Torah, the very last mitzvah, Torah emphasizes, it doesn't have to say this, Latoiv be'eneyem tien lanoshim. Choice. Marry who you want. What? Does it have the chasan? So Chazal tell us that the chasan and kala is a marshal for klali from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the chasan. In numerous Samari Chazal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the chasan, klali Yisrael is the kala. The whole Shir HaShirim is based upon this Yisrael. I mean, numerous Samari Chazal that illustrate this concept. Torah begins, there's no choice. Torah ends, there's choice. Why is the Torah sandwiched between these two concepts? The answer is because that's exactly what the Torah is all about. The Torah is telling you, Ubacharta b'chaim. The only reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us to this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give us Gan Eden, so there's no need to go through this intermediary, the prozdor to go through. He'll create neshamos, and the neshamos will be put in this world. Hashem put us in this world to give us an opportunity to express bechira chofshes, to choose. And because you have a yetzer hara and you choose not to follow the yetzer, to choose a yetzer tov, this is your ticket to Gan Eden. Ubacharta b'chayim. Hashem put us in this world and gave us a choice to choose. And what is the tool that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us to make that choice? The Torah HaKadoshah, the learning, the study of Torah, the mitzvahs of the Torah. Everything about the Torah all comes back to the purpose of this world of to give man bechira chofshes and to direct him to make that choice. The Klal Yisrael, our relationship with Kadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael is compared to Chas and Kala. The Torah begins in the beginning, Bereishis Bar Elokim, Eis Hashemayim V'Eis Haaretz. When there was a creation, there was nothing in this world. The Torah is symbolically telling us, unfortunately, Chaval, when the world was created, that's the problem with this world. When the beginning, there was no choice. V'Heviya El Ha'adam, she was brought, the Kala, there was no Bechira. That's why Kadosh Baruch Hu, well, I'm giving a mashal, I'm saying that the Kala, Chava, represents mankind. Adam, there are many dimensions. Adam represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The world began before the beginning, before there was a world. There was no choice. That's exactly why we need to go through the whole Torah, to come to the end of the Torah. Now when you've conquered the Torah, you've accomplished what the purpose of this world is. You have the tools. Now, latoiv beinem tien elanoshim. Now you have bechira. And now, watch out. Now you're an adult. When you're a baby, then you have no bechira. A child has no choice. He's forced to do what he's supposed to. But now when you mature, you become a bar mitzvah. You've given the Torah. It's the Kabbalah Samitzvah, you finish the entire Torah, you've graduated. And what do you get when you graduate? You have a license. You have a license means you have tools. And those tools are destructive tools. But they can be creative tools if you choose correctly. So this is perhaps a Musar Haskel. The beginning of the Torah is Vativieha El Adam, there was no choice. The end of the Torah is La Toy Benem Tien La Nashim. That is what encompasses the entire Torah. Okay, let's go to another idea. B'noi Slavcha, Chazal tell us, okay, this is a little bit more than Chazal tells us about B'noi Slavcha, that Latoiv Bein, they should marry to the Mishpacha, they should stay within their own Mishpacha. The words of the Pasuk are, Ach l'mishpachas ma'atei aviyem tiyen l'anashim, among their own Mishpacha. Why? So Chazal tell us, it wasn't a requirement, It was good advice. The Chazal elaborated on this post that a person should always marry his own league, within his own league. For example, let's say a person, a man says to him, I want to marry you, Al Manas, I am a Levi. I'm a Levi. And then they get married, and she discovers, she goes to shul the first week for Shabbat Brachos, and they hear, they call him up, HaKoyen. They call him up a Koyen. What? No, he says Levi. Let's say he says he's a Yisrael. I'm a Yisrael, I get Shlishi. And he comes to Shev Brachos and she hears they call him a Kohen. So guess what? The Gemara says Mekach Tos. It's not a marriage. It's the Oikid, the Kedusha. You don't need to. The whole Kedusha was a mistake. Why? Because she can say, I don't want a Yachsen. The Kohanim, Sosh Chosh Veichos, can look down at me. I'm just from a simple family. And it's not good. For Shaduchim, you have to marry your own kind. It's not good. This is what Chazal says. It's not good when two different beings stick to your own kind. Don't krich where you don't belong. You go and you marry out of your league. You're looking for trouble. That's what Chazal say. And this and the Hanafkamin is, it goes all the way down to the Halacha. And we learn it from this pasuk. Ach lemate avim Chazal have a homiletic drush. Ach lemate letoyim beinim tiel nashim. You can marry whoever you want. Go gezuntahit. You want to marry whoever you want. But ach lemishpacha saviyem tiel nashim, giving you good advice. Stick to your own. Stay to your own family. Stay to your mishpacha. Stay to the tribe. Then you're not going to have any problems. So here's the question. I saw this question in the safe. I don't remember where I saw this. A very, very good question. We have halacha. The man is a rasha. He's mamish, the worst of the worst. And he says, he goes to the kala, and he goes out with her a couple of times, and he fools her. This happens. And he goes out with the girl, and he fools her. And the girl, and he says, I'm marrying you, Al-Manas, I'm a tzaddik gomor. Gomorrah. I'm a tzaddik gamar. That's really what happens today, all the time. It's like he learns in Lakewood, he's this and he's this. Do they really know what's going on behind the scene? They know what's going on behind closed doors, they don't know. But that's the assumption. I'm an ass. That's how I present myself. Black hat, black suit, learning Lakewood, so on and so forth. I'm an ass, sha'ani tzadi gomor. And then you discover later on, this is no tzadikal. Okay, they get married, and he's no tzadikal. He's no tzadikal.
She didn't hear him well. He said, I'm a
child. See, we missed all these for 5 weeks. It was so quiet. You see how hard they're laughing?
I can't
win. Okay. So what is the halacha? It's good. It's a good kiddushin. Oh, Nekach tos. Shema hear her. Tshuva belibay, because maybe the moment before he married her, he had a machshava. That's taka what I should be. I should be a tzaddik. He was mahar. This is what he wants to be. And awesome, mela, he's forgiven. He is a tzaddik. Shema, being that there's a possibility, that's good enough to assume that the marriage is a good marriage, and she cannot leave him without a get. Okay. Question is, so this question is in the following sefer. We have a halach, as I'll tell us, b'mokam shebalei tshuva oimdim afilu tzadikim gemurim einam yecholim lamed. A baal tshuva is in a much higher madrega than a tzadik. So just like we have a halacha, that if a woman says to a man, says to a woman, marry me, al menas, I'm a simple person, I'm a Yisrael. And then it's discovered that he's not a Yisrael, he's a kohen. It's mekach tos. No get. Nekach tos. Because I don't want a yachsen. I don't want someone to look down at me. I don't want a yachsen. So why should this be different? Manafshach. A man says to a woman, marry me al menas, that I am a tzaddik. Manafshach. If he's a Rasha, let's assume he's a Rasha, and he was not neharer tshuva, he went to the chuppah, with a machshava seros, so he's a Rasha. Mekach tos. And if indeed he's a tzaddik because he was maharer tshuva, b'mokam shebalei tshuva oydim afilu tzaddikim gemurim einam yechum lamod. It's like he's a kohen relative to a Yisrael. He's a tzaddik. He's a much greater than a tzaddik. Much greater than a tzaddik. He's like a kohen, and a tzaddik is like a Yisrael. So she could say, such a tzaddik I don't want. I want a tzaddik, but someone a different madrega I don't want.
No, you only say that looking down. She's except looking up. So big Myla is not a chassar.
No, she only wanted a tzaddik. She only wanted a Yisrael.
He said,
she didn't want a kohen.
Tzaddik and above.
What? But you can say a Yisrael and above. You can say the same thing. No, you don't say that. So why don't you say a Yisrael and above? You don't. Okay, I hear what you say, but you should say Yisrael. Okay, so the answer is, and here's the very powerful answer. I don't want a Rebbe. I don't want the Gadol Hadar. I don't want such holy people. It's a very powerful Musar answer. It's a very simple answer, but it's a very powerful limud Musar. The answer is because what is he? He's a Baal Tshuva. He's not a tzaddik. He's much, much greater than a tzaddik. But he's still called a Baal Tshuva. He's still called a person. The essence of a Baal Tshuva is a person that doesn't look down at you. What is a Baal Tshuva? Baal Tshuva is a person who is, in essence, humble. When a person does Tshuva, I have done an Avera, Chotosi Ovisi Pashati, that expression of Charata is an expression of humility. I've made mistakes, I want to correct myself. You can't be a Baal Tshuva unless you humble yourself. When a man says, now it's discovered that he's a Kohen. Oh, Kohen, a big Yachsan. A Yachsan is going to look down at me. I don't want to go look every day. He looks at me, I'm not from his family. He's a much higher social status. Yeah, that's taka tshuva, Kohen Yisrael. But when you're begeder, a person that's on a madrega, the greatest, but you're still Baal Tshuva. And the essence of Baal Tshuva is humility. And humility means, by definition, you don't look down on other people. So this is a very powerful limud Musa. We talk about tzaddikim. People, unfortunately, complain. They go to a tzaddik. They just... if the tzaddik makes you feel uncomfortable, that I am I and you are you, that's not a tzaddik. That's fundamentally, there's a flaw. There's a flaw in a relationship between a Talmud and a Rebbe, when the Talmud is always feeling that he is that I'm uncomfortable. That is a problem. Some people say, "Oh, it's a ma'ila, right? You have to." No, it's not a ma'ila. Look at this chazal. If there's a feeling of "I don't come to who you are, I feel uncomfortable in your presence," that is not proper. What's proper is the greater a tzaddik is, the higher a person is, the more humility his personality gives over. Where a person would not feel uncomfortable to be in that person's presence.
But Kohanim can't look down at people either. They're
No, Kohanim is a matter of biology. It's not so. Being a Kohen is nothing more than biology. Your yichus.
Doesn't say that you're supposed to look at your Rebbe like a malach
obligation. That's your obligation. But not from the Rebbe's perspective.
Uh-huh.
A Rebbe is puts you in a matzav where Hashem, such a thing should ever exist. But it's not a mahalach. This is not a maila. Sometimes people, they have their chesronas. I always say that they are chesronas. I once went to a shir. I didn't understand a word. I didn't understand one word the person was saying. I just didn't understand. So instead of telling me, so what's the problem? There are many ways to say what the problem. So the person says to me, well, it's a maila not to understand the shir. It's a ma'ila. Because Hashem, when Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, we spoke to B'derech Remes. So the more you don't understand the shir, the better. There's such a mahalach. You have to work on yourself to be able to raise yourself to level to understand the shir. And this is a ma'ila. This is a ma'ila. This is a shtus. This is the shtus. The shir. All right, let's go to another idea. We have a very unusual pasuk with regard to Ari Miklat. The Ari Miklat says, Ari Miklat, we know the halacha, a person who kills inadvertently has to exile, is going to exile to the Ari Miklat. How long does he remain in the Ari Miklat? Until the death of the Kohen Gadol. Let me read the pasuk. He has to remain in the Ari Miklat until the death of the Kohen Gadol. Okay, Kivir Miklato Yashav. Okay, three times. Let me try the pasuk. I need. Okay, the first time it says. Asher Moshach. I need the pasuk. Asher Moshach Oisai. Where's the pasuk? Chafei. He will remain there ad mois ha kohen ha gadol. If the pasuk would stop there, I think we would all be satisfied. But the pasuk continues. Asher moshach oso b'shemen hakodesh. This is a very difficult pasuk. All mafarshim dwell on this pasuk. Why does it say asher moshach oso? It should say asher. What is it altogether? Who needs it to say all that? Of course. How else do you become a Kohen unless you have Mashiach? We don't need the pasuk altogether. And if you really want to say it, why do you have to say Asher Moshach, Asher Moshchu? Who anoints the Kohen Gadol? You, singular, Asher Moshach, you, he anointed the Kohen Gadol. Who is he? Who is the he? The Navi? Or is it the subject of the pasuk, the Rotzeach, the person who's killed, the person, the murderer? If you take the pasuk very literally, it sounds like this murderer will remain in the Ari Miklat ad mos haKohen Gadol, which the murderer himself anointed as the Kohen Gadol. That's not true. The one who anointed the Kohen Gadol as the Kohen Gadol was the Tzibur. There's a Bezer, Shal Kohanim, whatever. I mean, we didn't even know how this worked. Probably in times that were not so good, it was corrupt. It was you pay money, and whoever goes to the highest bidder would become the Kohen Gadol. During the time of the Bayashani, people, Kohanim, Gadolim, died every single year. And in fact, someone to learn that's what the pasuk means. Loisiklu Koifer. Don't take Koifer for the Nefesh Rotzeach. Because during the time of the Bayashani, the Kohen Gadol did not last more than a year. So that means all the murderers, can you imagine, the jails were open every year. That since the Kohen Gadol only lasted a year, so a person killed by mistake, big deal.
They leave 80 years, 420. and there were 40.
But the Baal Shem was only there for 1 year. No one was in the Ari Mizrach more than 1 year. So by so what happens? So when the people who are in the Ari Miklat, who do they want to serve as the Kohen Gadol? Someone who's not going to make it out alive. So they'll make sure they get out by bribing, by paying for the Kohen Gadol. See, people, there are some very wealthy people. There are some tycoons that are in Ari Miklat. We want to get out. Ari Miklat. How do we get out of prison? We'll pay money. How? What do you mean to pay money? Well, we only have to remain Ari Miklat until the Kohen Gadol dies. So we'll make sure that the Kohen Gadol dies on Yom Kippur. Whoa. How are we going to make sure? We will appoint a Kohen Gadol that's not a tzaddik, that's corrupt. How are we going to appoint? We'll pay the government. We'll deposit $1 million check, a political bribe to appoint a Kohen Gadol who is not roy for the Kohuna Gadolah. He will definitely die, and we will go free. The pasuk says, "Don't do this." Don't receive a bribe for the nefesh retzeach, for the murderer. What do you mean, don't receive a bribe? What, Bez is going to take a bribe? No, we're referring to the parasha, the one who killed B'shoigeg, and he wants to get out of Ari Miklat. He'll pay in an indirect way. He'll pay the government money in order to appoint a Kohen Gadol that's going to die on Rosh Hashanah so he can get out. But that's not the point I want to make over here. The point I want to make over here is Chazal tells us this is a very important halacha, that why does the Kohen Gadol have to die? Why does the person go free because of the death of Kohen Gadol? What connection is there between the Kohen Gadol and the Rotzeach? Chazal answer, and the part of the answer is also based upon the passage I just quoted to you in different contexts. The answer is because the Kohen Gadol is guilty. Why is the Kohen Gadol guilty? The Kohen Gadol should have been mispalo. The Kohen Gadol's job, he is the spiritual leader, he's responsible for the moral climate of society. People should value life. There should not, chas v'shalom, be any inadvertent deaths. He's responsible for the value of life. He's responsible for the koyach hatzvila. If Kohen Gadol would have done more, would have raised up the moral climate of society, if he would have been mispalel, as he should, then it would not have happened. A person would have killed by accident. A person would not kill by accident, then there would be no need for him to be in Golis. So therefore, the Kohen Gadol is guilty. Ad kedei kach, the Gemara says that, let's say the Kohen Gadol is a person who murders, and then the Kohen Gadol dies, and then there's a din Torah, and then the person is sentenced to go into Ari Miklat. The person goes through the death of the second Kohen Gadol, because he should have been mispalel that the verdict should have come out in his favor, that he's not chayiv to go to Golis. It all depends on the Kohen Gadol. So here is the point. Now, with this idea, I want to suggest a drush. Why does it say over here, Hashem Moshach Oso B'Shemen HaMishcha? That is Ki'ilu the Rotzeach. We have to look at the Rabbi, that's the similar thing of the Pasuk. Derech Drush, the one that anointed is the Rotzeach. Every so often we hear a story where there's a shul and the rabbi retires. It's not so uncommon. The rabbi, after serving for 50, 60 years, it's time now to take it easy. And now the shul has a job to select a new rabbi. Right? They have to get a new rabbi. Look, even as a mashal. So you always have people talking. Look at that. They took for the new rabbi, the shul has gone all the way to the left. Or the shul has gone to the right. Or the shul took this type of rabbi. Or they took that type of rabbi. Selecting a rabbi, a position, or even if not a rabbi, a principal of a school, it's probably even more common. Rabbis are really schools. When schools select people to serve as principals to set the tone for the chinuch, you always hear these type of stories that the board decides they're going to shift. They're going to shift in hashkafa in a different way. And then the leader guides the shul in a certain way, and things turn out either for good or for bad. Who is responsible? Who is responsible for what happens? Well, the rabbi. The rabbi, the principal, the leader. You have an institution, they appoint a new CEO, appoint a new president. You are appointing people to make for you decisions. The people who are responsible are the people that sit, Yoshe Beroish. They make the decisions. Absolutely. But the truth is, if you go a step deeper, it's not really the people who make the decisions, because to a large degree, it's predictable. Okay, when the President of the United States appoints a new justice in the Supreme Court, it's predictable what they're going to decide. Well, it's almost today, you know exactly when it comes to any matter, you know how they're going to vote. So the one that appoints them is really the one that is responsible. It's not the one that is making the decision. Of course, the one that makes the decision is responsible, but to a certain degree, it's predictable what he's going to do. And therefore, the ultimate responsibility falls upon the people who gave him his job. Who gives the Kohen Gadol his job? The Tzibor. Okay, Melech is a Navi. He goes down to Yerusha, Av Leben. But the Kohen Gadol does not go down to Yerusha. The Kohen Gadol, there are certain rules. If the son is Roy, he has Kedima. He's a better candidate. But Derech Klal, who is the one that appoints the Kohen Gadol? It is the Tzibor.
I thought it was the other Kahanim.
Bez and Shol Kahanim. It's not clear. There were different techniques that were used during different periods of time in history. There's a Bez and Shol Kahanim. It's not clear. You have to study the sources. But it's a vote. What? He's responsible. He's out.
Elohim has to bring the carpet.
So ultimately, it trickles down. Even if it's going to be the Bez and Shol Kohanim, the Bez and Shol Kohanim is also acting on pressure from the community. Because if the community doesn't want, then the people in the Bez and Shol Kohanim are also out of a job. Ultimately, it's a democracy, to a certain degree. The people in society are the ones who are making the decision who is going to be appointed. So here the Pasuk is saying something very, very profound. It's very, very deep. Here's a person. He killed B'shoigeg. Why did he kill B'shoigeg? Well, how did this come about that I killed B'shoigeg? This shouldn't have happened. There should have been some spiritual safeguards. The Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol should have been Nispala. Or the Kohen Gadol should have raised the moral climate of society to such a way where human life has more value and there are safeguards, safety first. There should not have been anyone getting killed in society. So it's the Kohen Gadol's fault. So the Kohen Gadol has to suffer. No. Who made him the Kohen Gadol? You, Narotseach, made him the Kohen Gadol. Now, it doesn't mean literally you, because you're just one out of million, but you are part of society that appointed such a person that allowed this to happen. It's your fault. The Pasuk is indirectly telling you, you are now going to go to Ori Miklat, and you're going to have to wait until the Kohen Gadol dies, because the Kohen Gadol's fault. Because it's the Kohen Gadol's fault. He's the one that's going to take the fall. But let's not kid ourselves now. The Pasuk could have stopped. The yeshiva is hoisoidel ayir miklata asher nasham of Yashav bo ad moisa Kohen Gadol. Could have stopped. No. Torah says, don't forget whose fault it really is. It's your fault. Asher moshach oso. You anointed him. If you would have voted to make another person, there was another candidate for the Kohen Gadol. And that candidate, you knew in the back of your mind is a more pious Kohen Gadol. He would have done a better job. But, you were bribed, or you don't want to be told what to do. That Kohen Gadol is not going to let you talk during davening. He's going to make restrictions. This Kohen Gadol doesn't tell you what to do. Now you're going to suffer the consequences. Don't fool yourself. The reason why you're going to have to wait until he dies, it's not because he's the only one responsible. You are responsible for your own predicament. Asher Moshach Oso, you anointed that Kohen Gadol B'Shem and HaKodesh, and now you find yourself in this situation. Someone said to me, today, I don't know if this is true, there's a mashal of truth in this. I don't agree with this 100%. He says, today, we don't really find ourselves, we don't find Gadol, we are Gadol, no one asks anything, but we don't find individuals that have the respect of the whole Klal Yisrael. There are a lot of specialists. There's a specialist in this side, there's a specialist in this side, but we don't really find individuals who the whole world is in awe of. When they walk into a room, every segment of Klal Yisrael has respect for them and listens to what they have to say. Why is that so? There's so much Torah today. There's so much Yerushalayim. There's so much everything today. What's missing? Why don't we have this today? So he said to me very powerful, he says, because we don't want. If we really wanted there to be people like this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would bring about like we learned yesterday, the Sibois HaMeshapchais would bring it about that we had such people. If we really wanted, we don't want, because we don't want to be told what to do. We know that there's a heavy price to pay when it comes to strong leadership. When it comes to strong leadership, there's a price to pay. You have to listen. You have to listen. You have to be told what to do. You have to make some hard decisions. It's not comfortable. We live in a society, the world today is, don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what to do. This attitude has trickled down to Klal Yisrael. We don't want. We don't want. Hashem doesn't give us. Hashem gave us specialists. There's a specialist for this, a specialist for this, a specialist for this. But one leader, the car, we don't want. So we're guilty because we're the ones. Asher Moshach Oso B'Shemen HaKadosh B'Loshem Yochid. Every single person. Why is he the leader? Why did you choose him as your rabbi? Why didn't you choose the other person as the rabbi? Because you voted. You voted, and you made, and that rabbi made that decision, and he took the tzibur down the wrong path, and now you're suffering the consequences. In the news, who's going to take the fall in the media? The rabbi is going to take the fall. He's the Kohen Gadol when he dies. But let's not fool ourselves. Let's put in the parentheses over here. You're the real guilty one. Asher Moshach also, it's the community. Democracy in the Torah. Asher Moshach Asay B'Shemen HaKadosh.
Everyone has their own agenda.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But the poor mother is dominating for her son.
Okay, there are many different dimensions. I just want to focus on one little part. Okay, another short idea. We have over here the mitzvah. We spoke this week a lot about Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael. I came across in the Sefer a very similar observation. I want to tie into the Pesukim. When you describe the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael, there are, it's in the Sefer, I think, V'zois HaBracha by Rav Schlesinger. One of the Schlesingers, a lot of Schlesingers, I've got, I think, Elio Schlesinger, he says something very interesting. If you look at all the different areas of Mamore Chazal, Halacha, Agada, that are discussed in regard to Eretz Yisrael, you can break it down into three categories. There are aspects of Eretz Yisrael that express its milos. The milos of Eretz Yisrael. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, you'll be zoicha to see the Yad Hashem. The Ramban says you see the Mida Keneged Mida. A person that lives in Eretz Yisrael, you're living in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a certain spiritual satisfaction one gains who lives in Eretz Yisrael. All the beautiful milos of Eretz Yisrael. Then there's another area. Nothing to do with the milos. Kiddushas Eretz Yisrael. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, there are mitzvos hatluyos baretz. Let's not talk about the milos. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, you're living in the mokum of the Shechina. There's kedusha, there's truma, there's meiser, there's shmita. There are laws that are tluyos baretz that all relate to the kedusha saaretz. And then the third category is physical, to possess, it's monetary. We own the land, real estate. Klal Yisrael, it is our land. It does not belong to the Arabs, it belongs to us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this land, we possess it, we own it. It is our nachala. Three different categories. So I want to suggest that these three categories really is what it says with Farish this week's parasha. There are three psukim that describe, there's a lot of repetition when it comes to describing the each of Eretz in this week's parasha. When the parasha begins with before the Gvulois, Vaidaber Hashem El Moshe, Vaidabras Moy Valyanu Vichalim, Dabra Bnei Yisrael Madalahem, Kiatem, Oyemes Hayardin El Eretz Kinoi. So it says three expressions. Pasuk number one, Vihoyrashtem. Vihoyrashtem is not an easy word to translate. We discussed this. Rashi, Ramban, Targum, the different given Girsos and Targum. What it means, Vihoyrashtem? Either it means you will drive out, or you will possess, you will inherit, Lashon of Yerusha. Different perushim, but the Hirashtem will inherit. So the first pasuk says, "Es kol yoshvei haaretz mipneichem," and it gives you very specific instructions. "Vibadetem es kol maski oisam, v'yeis kol tzalmi masich osam, te'abedu v'yeis kol bom osam, tashmidu, you shall obliterate the avodah zarah. Get rid of the avodah zarah. That's the first, that mitzvah of getting rid of the avodah zarah is said in connection with v'choyrashten. And then it says, nochamo, pasik nun gimel, this is the famous pasik. The famous pasuk, the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, v'hoirashtem es haaretz v'shavtem lo, live in the land, possess the land, inherit the land, and live in the land. Ki lochem nosati es haaretz l'resh es oisa. And then nochamo, a different expression, v'hisnachaltem. It's the same idea as v'hoirashtem, v'hisnachaltem es haaretz b'goyrol l'mishvichoisichem l'rav tabu es nachalosov v'lamat hamin es nachalosov. It goes through all of the rules of el kol asher yetzi l'shama ha'goyrol lo yeh l'mat es avosichem tisnechol. What's going on? Why does the pasuk have to express the conquest, our taking possession of Eretz Yisrael with three different psukim? They all express different ideas, but they all begin with the same idea of v'hoirashtem, v'hoirashtem, v'hisnachaltem. The answer is to bring out exactly these three ideas. The first idea is teaching you about the kedushas haaretz. The land has sanctity; it's kodesh. You don't bring avodah zarah at Salem into the heichal. Right, this is the Bein HaMetzarim. You don't bring a tzelem into the heichal. It's kodesh. It's kodesh. It's kedusha haaretz. This kedusha, memeilu, this kedusha. You don't have avodah zarah in the land. That's the first pasuk. Get rid of the avodah zarah. And then it talks about the mailos of Eretz. Forget about the kedusha, because today the truth is the kedusha is not there. There is no, today the kedusha is very limited. There's no, you have to have the whole Eretz, you have to have Beis HaMikdash, and you have to have the majority of Klal Yisrael living there. There are many conditions that need to be met in order that we should have the full kedusha of Trumas and Maestres and Shemitah, and all of these things should be l'chadash, all should be on 100% midrash according to all opinions. There's a lack of kedusha. But even though there's no kedusha, there's still the mailos of Eretz Yisrael. It's the makom of the hashruas hashchina, whether there's kedusha or whether it's kedusha or not. They are the mailos. That's the second pasuk. The second pasuk says, "Vayirashtem es haaretz v'shavtem bo ki lachem nasati es haaretz l'resh es haisa." And then comes the third part, v'snachaltem es haaretz b'goyrol, the physical possession, the monetary possession. You own the land. It's your land. It's your property. Your physical property, that's the third possible person of the girl. Okay, let me conclude with one last vart. This week we have the Masos. The Masos, as I said before, represents the union of the history of the Jewish people. The Masos, the 42 Masos, is a microcosm, Isav Asim Labonim. There's a medrash that says, Chavtsa Amudeha Shiva. Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he created the world, he acquired the pillars as seven. There are seven pillars in the world. What are the seven pillars? Well, there are seven branches of the menorah. There are seven pillars. The Medrash says there are seven books to the Torah. Seven books to the Torah, but with only five books to the Torah. So what is the common answer to this? We once discussed at great length that the Pavahi bin Sohar and Vayel Moshe, it has upside down nuns. That's a parasha that is a chumash to itself. And the fact is, I'll say that that section will one day, there's such a medrash, will one day be expanded. There was a certain part that was meant to be taught, Ketinik Habrechim Beis HaSefer, when Moshe Rabbeinu gave them the Torah, Klal Yisrael, they fled, Ketinik Habrechim Beis HaSefer, the lesson was ended early. There was no makeup class. If Klal Yisrael would have stayed for the entire lesson, that section, that he bin Soa, would have been expanded very, very much, because we left early, we ran away, so we lost that, and that section of the Torah has yet to be filled in at a later point in time. But there are seven different sections. Bereshis, Shemos, Vayikra, the beginning of Bamidbar until Vayihi bin Soa, Vayihi bin Soa, and then the end of Bamidbar, and then Devar. Okay, seven different books of the Torah. This is classic, this is Medrash, this is solid. Okay, you can't argue with this. Maimon Chazal, Chavsa Wodecha Shiva, there are seven books in the Torah. There are also seven Neros in the menorah. And there's a chazal, chavsam, that's part of the same chazal, that the seven books of the Torah correspond to the seven neros. There are seven neros and there are seven books. Now, question. Which one of the seven neros is the Ner HaMaravi? There's a Ner HaMaravi, and the Ner HaMaravi, well, there was a miracle that happened to the Ner HaMaravi, that lasted 24 hours. That they started aligning with the Ner HaMaravi, and the Ner HaMaravi miraculously was a Hanukkah all year round. Wasn't only 8 day Hanukkah, it was a Hanukkah all year round, every single day. Bizman, Bizshois, and Yisholi, Bizshois, and Shalmakom, the Ner HaMaravi only had enough oil to last for 12 hours. It lit the entire for 24 hours non-stop. which one of the seven Neros is the Ner Maravi? Well, it's Machlekes Megemara, which direction was the menorah positioned? Was it set from Mitzafon Ledarim? And if it was set Mitzafon Ledarim, it was the middle Ner. But if you learn that it was arranged from Mimizrach Lamarov, it was the second to last Ner. The second to last snare is the Ner Maravi. Why? The Gemara is a drasha. Because it says it has to be the panim, it has to be. There are different drashas. I don't remember all the details. There are drashas in the Gemara. The Gemara elaborates in Masechta Yoma how you know that the Ner Maravi, if the menorah was arranged from Marav to Mizrach, it was the second Ner in. It's Marav, meaning it has to be at least. My relative to the end. I don't remember all the job, but it's the second Ner. Now, if that's true, that the Ner Maravi is the second Ner, the question is which one of the seven parshios, chumashim of the Torah, corresponds to the Ner Maravi? Which one?
The end of
Bamidbar. The first one is Bereishis, second, Shemos, Vayikra, the beginning of Bamidbar, and then Vayim and Soa, and the second to last is from Vayhi Homkin Nitzoininim until the end of Maaseh, and then the very last one that's all the way the extreme Mizrach is Devarim. Now, which one of the seven Neros merited the miracle of the oil lasted for 24 hours? It was the second to last, the one that corresponds to the end of Bamidbar that we're finishing today. They're finishing this week. What does the miracle represent? The Chazal say, well, what was the significance of the fact that the Ner Maravi lasted for 24 hours? The words of Chazal are, Eidus hi shehashchina shiruya b'Yisrael. It is testimony that the Shechina is resting in Klal Yisrael. Which part of the Torah is Eidus shehashchina shiruya b'Yisrael? It's this part of the Torah that we include this Shabbos, the Masos. The end of Bamidbar is the section that includes the Masos. The Masos is Jewish history. It's a microcosm for Jewish history. Maisa Avos Simul Labanim, just as Klal Yisrael traveled in the middle of the 42 stops, Klal Yisrael throughout history through ghost travels from nation to nation until they reach their final destination. The Sakana that we are in, that we endure, the sakana that we endure traveling in Golis from one nation to the other nation is sakanas nefashas. And al pi derech hateva, it is impossible for us to have survived this long, to survive for 2,000 years, going from one country to another country, being expelled from one nation to another nation, and to yet to remain. The Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker is a nes. The survival of the Jewish people throughout history is nothing less than a nes. And that is hinted to in these Mamari Chazal. There are seven Neros. There are seven books in the Torah. The book of the Torah that corresponds to the Ner Maravi is this section of the Torah that begins Vayhi Yom Kimisayim, which concludes with the Masos. In the Masos is an Eidus in Jewish history, Shehashchina Shiruya B'Yisrael. Our survival in history is Eidus, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us, and Halavai Vayter, which is Yeshua, Mechamos, Mesir Stavos, Meher Menu, Amen.